Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The following is a paid program.
All right, here we go. Good Saturday afternoon, everybody. This is Right at Home with Rich. I am your host, Mosby's own Rich Orris. I am a senior sales consultant for a full-service design, build, remodeling company, Mosby Building Arts. And we are here to bring some good stuff to you, hopefully help you around your home, get you some good information, answer any questions, and or get you in on the conversations of everything that we have going on so we can relate this with you. And really, my job here is to try and help you out. So for today, as always, we have our Stefanina's Pizzeria gift card giveaway. So for one lucky caller that we pick at the end of the show, you will win a $25 Stefanina's Pizzeria gift card, and that will get you an awesome meal at Stefanina's, and they have a bunch of locations out west in O'Fallon, Winghaven, St. Charles. They have one in Chesterfield, in Chesterfield Commons down there. Great place to be. It'll get you a great meal. All you got to do is call in, leave a phone number that we can reach you at. When you call in, I will pick one lucky winner at the end of the show, and we'll contact you next week and get that gift card out to you. So get in on that and get in on these topics. I got some hopefully really good ones for you today. I have a behind-the-scenes look into Mosby's concept design process. I want to go over all that with you. I have flashing, the proper ways to flash, and what is so important about that. Of course, in the middle of the show, I have my Rich's Right at Home hacks. And I've got some good information today about why everything is only as good as its base. So great information there. We've got building character into your remodel we can go over and some tile options. A blog we did on the Right Bath Experts talking tile. So want to get into this, want to get you with me. If any of this strikes a chord with you, give me a call. 314-241-9797. Love to get you in on the conversations and hear what you have to say or what you may have issues with or going on around your house with any of these topics. I'm super excited to get into it with you. Again, 314-241-9797. So I want to jump right in here and start talking about, you know, the conceptual design process that we do at Mosby Building Arts, because we're definitely, you know, a different kind of company than a typical, you know, we're better as a design build to show everything and not just a typical contracting type company. And some of the big differences is really our employees. It's everybody. It's as little possible subcontracting and as maximum as much possible of actual hourly paid employees that are trained and want to do the right thing for you, not just in construction, but also in design. And how do we get you through those decisions? And how do we get you into some really good designs without, you know, spending too much, you know, time and or money trying to get, you know, that type of stuff figured out? And, you know, one of the ways is not going all the way fully into, you know, a full design until we've kind of run through, shown some options, and then really narrowed it down to what's really going to work for you. And then you can get into the more detailed architectural, ready for permits, all this other stuff. But in the first step of what Mosby does as a conceptual design, it's like getting to see the job. It's getting to build the job two or three different ways without having to actually build the job or do all of the work that like an architect's going to do to have this thing permit ready, planned out, and ready for, you know, a bid-based process on trying to figure out what it costs. And that's one of the biggest differences here, you know, from full service and design build. We do everything. We design it and we build it. And kind of a contracting, construction, general contracting where, you know, outside people design it. But in order for the, you know, that contractor to really be able to figure it out, you need a lot of information and you need to get down to that job before they can really start looking at it. And you've got a lot of resources vested into that in that first step where, as we go through the concepts, you get to see more, see the 3D renderings, know exactly what we're talking about, mesh them together, work through it, you know, in an ongoing meeting that's like a working meeting between, you know, a client joining our team and our team coming together. So, and really getting it figured out. And then we can get a little bit deeper into now let's finalize the one that we've selected it down to during that, you know, conceptual process that, you know, we've picked the what we want conceptually. We love the renderings. We love the way it's going to be. Now you can get into all that detail. But, you know, up front, there's some time. And there's some time there that, you know, people don't get to see necessarily. So when we come out and look at a project and talk about that conceptual design and we move forward, you know, kind of performing that conceptual design, the first thing we do with the client is come out and do what we call a measure and photo where we're going to come into the home. We're going to bring some drafts people. We're going to bring in the designer that's going to head it up. I'll still be there for looking in the attic, you know, digging in the basement, figuring out the building aspect part of how all this comes together, designers on designing part. And we have a draft team that's on showing it to you, getting the existing conditions in our computer, getting everything ready so they can make the changes and then show those virtual designs with all those drafters and everybody. So, but even prior to coming out, we would have a meeting where we get together and we look over the photos and we talk about the project and we pick that team. How many people do we need? How do we get through it? You know, make that plan on what needs to happen. And then once we've had that meeting and we got more photos and more information and all the measurements for, you know, putting into the computer, when we come back, now we have another meeting that's, okay, what did we find out? You know, it's kind of a post-meeting. Because it's a whole team, so I can't always say everything that I saw while I was photographing and digging through the attic and things like that and the construction stuff of the house. So, you know, these just right there, there's two meetings that you really don't get to see. But so once the drafting team then puts everything in the computer, the designer can then start helping make those changes, changing layout, working on what they think is going to help and work and fit for you. Once those designs, we've got two or three of those, you know, kind of planned out, we have another design meeting where I'll get back in involved again. Is it feasible? How does it work? What's where? We have the estimator and everything with us too at that point. And we kind of meet over design and then we kind of hand that off to the estimating portion to say, all right, now figure out approximately what these are going to cost. There's a lot of specifics we haven't gotten into yet. But we can get pretty close with a good, you know, 10% or so price range on this is where this type of project is going to be and really narrow down that budget range. But so we've had another meeting or two just through that. So now once estimating has taken its toll, We come through and they pass it back to me and the designer. So we meet again. So, you know, even going through this process, there can be, depending on the size and complexity of the project, there's a minimum of about 4 or 5 meetings that's happening. And on really large projects, it could get into 6 or 7 in how we, so when you look at that timeline of, we're going to show up, we're going to measure everything, but we're going to come back in like 4 to 6 weeks to really show you the results of everything that we've done. Well, we've got about a week to get, you know, everything in. We've got about a week or week and a half of designing. We've got about a week of estimating. We've got reviewing and meetings. And so, you know, it's kind of working through that line, having a process. Don't let anybody down. Do the same thing over and over again so that you do it more often. You're just more successful at it. But you've got this whole process and all these behind the scene action things taking place as a team and not just one person going, yep, this is a great way to do it. It should be done like this. And if I run through it with a bunch of subcontractors per square foot, this is where it should cost. Bada bing. And, you know, it's a lot more effort and a lot more information and a lot more figured out in that conceptual design process. So that's kind of a quick look behind the scenes of all the things that happen through that process, you know, for you, the client, as we're trying to figure that design out. Because I know a lot of times it can seem like, wow, they just kind of went away and I didn't even see them for like 5 weeks. Well, there was so much work happening in that, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks. I just really wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of that. So, and if you've ever been through a process like this, if you have more questions about a process like this, or you're thinking about getting into a process like this, you can give me a call right here today. Let's have a little talk about that. 314-241-9797. Lines are wide open. You can also call our office and just get something scheduled for you. 314-909-1800 for the office. And we're going to get into a short break and we'll get into more topics when we get back. All right, here we go. Moving right along as always. Got some great things going on. Got a lot of great things going on around Mosby for you. And if anything we're talking about is, you know, getting any type of interest with you, I definitely invite you. Phone lines are open. Give me a shout. Let's talk about it a little bit. Get in on the Stefanina's gift card giveaway. The phone line's wide open, 314-241-9797. And talking about around Mosby, we've got, I brought this up for the first time last week. We have our next seminar that I really am excited April's here. So that we can get closer to this next one. And it is on kitchens, and it is going to be held at an exciting place over at Topgolf in Chesterfield. It will start, it is April 27th. It will start at 10:30. It is in one of their meeting rooms there, so it does not include, you know, any golf or anything. So if you'd like to stick around, you know, we definitely recommend that you make some reservations as early as possible for, you know, after this gets done and play a little golf there. I've done it myself. It's super, super fun. I absolutely love it. And it's just a really good time to be had. So I'm super stoked about having that out there. And you can RSVP at callmosby.com/seminars. Find it on our website, and or you can just call the office if you want to RSVP, 314-909-1800, and we can get you on the list there. We'll have some goodies and some treats and things like that for everybody, so we like to try and get a head count if we can. And great information happens at these, so if you want to know anything about kitchens, if you want to meet some of our designers and hear them talk about the different things that we do, that is the place to do it. It will be a great time for sure. And you can find all that information again on our website at callmosby.com, callmosby.com. So while we wait for some calls to come in, and hopefully I think this is maybe the one that's really going to drum up some conversation, because it's official that spring is here and it is raining cats and dogs out there. The drive-in was absolutely ridiculous, coming down so hard. So I know that people are going to be having, you know, all sorts of water issues, whether it's roofing, coming in around the windows, the doors, the siding, you know, the foundation. This is going to be a big thing for, you know, my sponsor to the show here, Helitech. They are definitely, they're probably come Monday going to be getting a ton of calls for them on, you know, getting water in the basement, things like that. And they can absolutely handle all of that for you as far as, you know, they got their Hydraway drainage system, their sump pump system. It is absolutely the best in the business. That is why we partner with them, because of these products that they use and the systems that they've come up with and developed over the years to repair foundations and to fix the waterproofing and to dry out your basements, crawl spaces, any of that stuff like that. They have a ton of lists of stuff they do. So when you're getting water this weekend, look for them and give Helitech a call, 314-329-4660, and they can help you out with all those water issues. But what I can help you out with water issues is absolutely your flashing on your home. And I even in the basement sometime, I've seen a lot of, you know, people say, oh, I got water in my basement, I got water in my basement, but it's really coming in, you know, at the bottom of that wall, at that floor, from behind the brick, behind the siding, you know, how the house is put together, letting it in, it runs down that wall onto the basement floor there, and there you go, you know, water in the basement. So it's not always necessarily doors and windows and that, but it gets in around the doors and windows, comes in around the top of that basement, and you see it in your basement. And, you know, the amount of water calls, water leaks into basements that I get that are actually a siding wall flashing issue is absolutely huge, tremendous on how many actually turns out to be that way. And it's all about what happened to the wall behind the facade that you see, behind the siding, behind the brick, behind stone, anything on there. You know, what's going on? How do you handle that water, and how do you get it back out to the front? Because water does get behind it. You know, brick is a big sponge. Everything soaks through. Stone can be the same way. Vinyl siding, it gets around all the windows. If you look at any penetration in the house, windows, doors, vents from the laundry room, from the bathroom, light fixtures, outlets, any penetration through vinyl siding gets water. It lets it get in behind that vinyl siding at the bottom of that penetration. It's kind of the way that J channel that goes around works. It literally drives that water behind the siding. And if your wall isn't properly flashed, then that's where you start to get that water in. And that's where you can have water coming in around your window on the first floor, but you don't see it till the basement. Or that's why you see it a lot of times on the first floor of a walkout atrium when you've got three stories of windows, because it's hitting the third, the second, and then it's coming down to the door and the windows of the first floor. And that's where you actually see the repercussions, but it's really starting much, much higher up. So to get the proper house wrap drainage system on that wall, and not only get that, but make sure it's on right, make sure it's installed right, and make sure it's draining that water out, and make sure your doors and windows are flashed around properly, is a big, big thing in how we do that. And we've been doing this and studying this for years and years on how to do it right. And Mosby can definitely look at these issues for you and side and flash and get this house right for you. It is very, very important to do it that way. So I'm going to jump into my first call here real quick before the break and get to Tim here. You got a question about a sump pump. Are you with us, Tim?
Hi, Rich. Yeah, my name is Tim. Question. I have no problems with my water yet, but what is there like a test that you could, if the original sump pump in the house, is there like a way of testing your sump pump to make sure it's working properly, or...
Yeah, well, so if you have a sump pump with a pit and everything, to make sure the actual pump itself is working and going out to the right place and all that, is actually you just dump water in it.
Okay.
Take a 5-gallon bucket, dump it down there, and, you know, let it run, let it wash the water out, see where it's going, make sure it's going away from the home once it gets outside, all that. Mm-hmm. The perimeter drain is a little tougher. So if you have an older system where it's actually like a 4-inch flexible, you know, black flexible pipe that goes around the perimeter of the basement. Really, the only thing you could do for that is to camera scope it and have like a plumbing camera scoping company run a camera through there and make sure it's not stopped up or clogged or broken somewhere, because that stuff does wear.
Okay.
And it does, you know, break in places. And, you know, most people don't realize that that perimeter drain tile is in bad condition until they're getting water in the house on the other side away from the sump pump.
Okay.
So that's pretty much your two testing systems right there. Camera scope, and then just fill the one up with water and make sure it's working.
Okay, thank you, Rich.
All right, no problem. You're welcome. Thanks, Tim. Definitely something that is good to do, looking at, examining the house, things like that. But yeah, making sure those things work. If you've got a sump pump system with a sump pump in there and you think, no, I'm good, I'm safe, I haven't ever seen water in it, and I've had that system for 8, 9, 10 years, test that system out. Make sure it's going to function. Because if it doesn't, and you start getting that water, and you cannot have water for 35 years and then all of a sudden have water, then, oh, yeah, it's a bad condition if you got a finished basement and everything. So, and it's bad for furnace, water heater, all of that. So definitely test that out. It's a great thing to do. I really appreciate Tim's call there as a kind of a reminder for that. So, Paul, if you can hang the line for me, we will get to you when we get back from our next break. And Rich's Right at Home Hacks coming up after that, too. Stay tuned. All right, here we go. We're back. I've got my Rich's Right at Home Hacks here, but I'm gonna keep that teaser out there that, you know, this is about everything being as good as its base. You are gonna want to hear this and think about some of these topics. But I appreciate Paul holding on through the break, so I'm gonna take Paul's call first and see what he's got going on. Are you there, Paul?
I am, sir. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you for calling in and hanging on there. What do you got?
Well, I am a bit of a prepper. A lot of people say I'm a little bit nuts, but I was considering building like a bunker-style small house, 800 to 900 square feet, but I wanted to make it as, I guess, as bulletproof as possible.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean that in the literal sense, but also in that sense. I see the concrete blocks, big, huge concrete blocks, 2 foot thick, 2 foot tall, and various lengths between 2 foot in length to 6 foot in length.
Sure.
I was wondering, could I use those for the outer walls of the bunker and then put a metal roof on top with metal I-beams on the inside of the concrete to build the inside walls with? So kind of just like an outside shell.
Mm-hmm. So is this something you're talking about just kind of like out in the backyard or something?
No.
Or you're in the ground?
On a piece of property.
Uh-huh.
Not in the ground, on the ground.
On the ground, okay.
So, like I said, basically just kind of an outer shell.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think absolutely. It definitely would be something, you know, the biggest thing would be how you engineer how to attach, you know, the metal roof, the structure to the top of that concrete. But, you know, do a little 2x4, 2x6 kind of roofing structure and, you know, put the metal on it or something. But, you know, how that all gets attached so that it's, you know, really, really strong would really be the biggest thing. But, I mean, when bunkers and stuff like that are built, or when we look at like storm shelters and basements and they have us do like an 8-inch block wall, you know, kind of like a foundation wall around the room.
Right.
And so, you know, 8 inches thick is pretty darn good. So 2 foot thick of concrete would be great if it's attached well and, you know, put down properly and everything's secured so like the roof doesn't blow off in the wrong storm or something.
And that's why I was considering
be awesome.
Like the 6-inch I-beam on mm-hmm. the inside of the concrete to attach the roof to. So
yeah.
The roof wouldn't actually be attached to the concrete itself, but it would be
sure.
resting on top of it.
Yeah. And that's definitely, you know, where a little bit of engineering, you know, from like an architect and or an engineer to say, hey, if I use this for walls, what could I do, you know, to attach and for a roof and what would make it good? You know, they can draw you stuff like that up and come up with how that system works.
Gotcha.
Pretty
I didn't know
cheaply.
If you had any experience with working with those blocks at all. I only really seen them in like retaining walls along the highway and stuff.
Yeah, and that's the typical use for them is when we use those is kind of for like a retaining wall. It's not really what you're talking about. Those are used more on, you know, highways and different stuff like that. But we use like the big decorative boulders, kind of same concept, you know,
right. Big
heavy stone, you know, holds the ground back and everything. So if it can hold the ground back, you know, on the side of the highway or, you know, on a hill around a house, things like that, or, you know, or kind of like a similar system as the, you know, the rectangular basket of rocks that they make for creeks now. You know, how they stack those up like a retaining wall on the side of, you know, rivers and creeks and things
Correct. Running
through neighborhoods.
Washing away, right?
Yeah, keep all that from washing away. It's the exact same concept. There's not going to be a whole lot stronger than 2 foot thick of concrete. So if you could get it there and you got the equipment and do all that, I think it would make a great shelter. You know,
I will continue to investigate then. I appreciate the input.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would, you know, I would look at an engineer and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What would it cost to kind of draw something up so I know that it's, you know, good and secure and put together, you know, in a good way? Because you can get, you know, great products, but if you put them together wrong, it's really not going to help you too much.
Right,
you know,
right.
So a few $100 might get you a good plan from like an engineer to say, yep, this is how you put the I-beam in, bolt it, things you want to do to make it sturdy, and now you're good as gold there. So good thought.
Right.
Great concept. I appreciate the call, Paul.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And that will actually kind of lead us right back into my hacks, too, because part of one of the, you know, in part of the hack is, you know, what you do with a good product to make it work right. It's kind of like that flashing thing. You can get the best window on the market, and it could be energy efficient and keep the hot and cold out and all that, but if you don't flash it properly, if you don't stop water from getting in, it'll destroy that perfectly good window. If you don't stop air infiltration or you don't insulate it the best way possible, well, then you're getting all that hot and cold air right around the best window on the market. What good does the best window on the market do you if that's happening and you're not, you know, saving the energy then? It's just going around what you've put in. So installing things correctly is really what it's all about. And so last week we had a really good one about why you should shovel your concrete, even if you're not going to be leaving or using it. And if you want to hear any of these again, you can go back through 97.1 News Talk's website and you can find the past episodes, the podcast of these, and go back and play them back. You can rewind and fast forward or get to the hack if you want and get that information. So today, it's more of a theory. It's everything is as good as its base. And I know you've all heard this. A house is as good as its foundation. So if we kind of start from the top of the house down and think about roofing, well, the life expectancy of a roof that's been recovered, shingles on top of shingles, is literally cut in half. That roof will last half what it will last if you stripped it and put it on right, if you do a recover, because the base is just not that good. Plywood decking, shingles, all those things go bad with proper attic ventilation, which is kind of the base of, if that's not working right, it's not gonna help you. It's gonna deteriorate it quicker. Ice damming was corrected with ice and water shield that is actually a better base underneath shingles. So this is all playing into this theory. Siding needs a drainage plane and proper flashing to keep air and water out from inside of your walls. So your siding, your brick, all that stuff is only as good as the base that's behind it in protecting your home. Windows and doors, what we were just talking about. You can have the best door or best window. It's not going to work if you don't do the work around it properly. Paint. Primer. Think of if you don't use the right primer, if you don't use the right stuff underneath, it just doesn't last very long. Flooring, you use half-inch Durarock for tile. It needs a proper substrate. Well, if you put that on a half-inch plywood floor, it's still not thick enough. It's still not good enough. It needs to be a certain thickness all the way throughout. It needs to be a proper base. Quarter-inch Luon being very smooth and perfect for vinyl. Sometimes these bases vary on what they need to be for, you know, what product to make them really last. The one that caught my eye and really, really got me thinking about this was concrete. You know, you have to have a proper base underneath concrete in order to really make it last long. We just talked about this last week, but a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about this. I was watching actually a This Old House episode. They've got a show called Trade School, and they're rehabbing all these houses. And it's actually, if you wanted to find it, it's season 2, episode 7. There's a cracked sidewalk, and they break the sidewalk up, and lo and behold, they find another 4-inch slab of concrete underneath that sidewalk with a crack in the exact same place. They take that out and they find dirt. And you actually have 8 inches of concrete, but you already had the dirt moving and you already had a crack in the other concrete and you had no original base. And they actually talk about this on the show, how to do it right. And they show them, dig it out and get the right base. Be a great thing for everybody to see. But, you know, getting into like asphalt needs even a bigger base than concrete does. But think about it. You can take something thinner and softer than concrete and make it last really well with a properly done, bigger, thicker rock base underneath it. That right there to me says everything about why it's so important. And think about, you know, out in the yard. Plants, grass, trees. I mean, that, even that in this theory, everything's as good as the soil and the water you get to it and, you know, all the stuff it needs for that. You can have the best plant out there and you got horrible soil. It is not going to survive very well. This is literally something that it's like a life lesson if you think of it in theory that works in all aspects of construction, life, everything. You got to get the underside done really well. And this is the, you know, the concept that I've helped develop and continue to use at Mosby Building Arts and really making sure what we're doing is going to last for a 10-year workmanship warranty. It's going to be the best thing for you. So if any of this, you know, strikes a chord with you, if you want more in-depth information, I invite you to give me a call and ask me about any piece of this and we can talk more. Let's have a conversation about it. 314-241-9797. I'm going to get into my final break here, and I appreciate any calls coming in, and we'll have more for you when we get back. We are back. This is it. Got about 6 minutes left, so if you got something quick, you can give me a call and get your question on the air real quick. Get in on that Stephanina's gift card, too, 314-241-9797. But I wanted to touch on, you know, building character into your remodeling projects, because this is something we kind of show in our like conceptual design I was talking about, and something we advise all the time in picking and choosing where you know, spend a little more money maybe to get something really, really cool and kind of show that character. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, like they say, home is where the heart is. We do these things in the home because, you know, it's so important, like psychologically for, you know, our physical surroundings. They play such an important role in, you know, creating what we all feel is, you know, meaningful lives. What happens, a feel good thing for you. We do it with cars all the time, you know, buying, upgrading into different things because you just want to feel good while you're out and about and everything. And, you know, so this is a thing for everybody. And so when you look at, you know, where do you put, you know, character into your kitchens and bathrooms and things like that? And what are some maybe easy ways, you know, to do that? And what we're always advising around Mosby is to try and make decisions that are going to make you happy, that are going to work for you. And there's a lot of different areas that you can, you know, add character in a kitchen through your doorways, through your cabinets and picking out different little pieces and stuff like that. Doing some, you know, back painted glass cabinet doors that really show a lot of style. Picking just some of these neat things. Glass in the door to show some things is really, really neat thing. There's a lot of little things that, you know, you can pick out and do in these jobs, like in bathrooms, a little bit of tile, putting an accent, doing a different pattern on the floor or on the walls, putting a different tile inside of a soap niche to really, you know, make something stand out. You can buy a really, really cool, really, really expensive tile and put it in a small strip or a small area, and you're splurging on a littler area of a larger job in really just making it stand out and work for you. And that's what we're always trying to push and show you there through Mosby and the different things that we can do. So if you're looking for anything like that, I definitely invite you to give us a call. Have me come out and check out your modeling project. I would love to see it for you. Just, you know, call our office, 314-909-1800. Get an appointment in, and we'll check out the remodeling jobs you're looking for, and I can get them taken care of for you. So for now, real quick, I'm going to go to the phone lines and see if we can answer a question for Heather. Heather, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what do you got going on? Thanks for calling.
Okay, well, thanks for being there. I'm asking about, have you heard of brushless solar air vents for attics to ventilate attics? And do you know anything about them?
Yes, I do know a little bit about them, and they're definitely something that we don't recommend a lot of time to do any type of mechanical ventilation of an attic, because you can overventilate an attic. So if you get too much, too many, or at the wrong time, you can actually pull too much air out of your attic. And if you don't have the intake to sustain that, then it can start pulling air from the house, from the light fixtures, from around, you know, any penetrations in the ceilings and stuff like that. So actually what we try and do is, you know, create a system of ventilation for an attic that reacts naturally and doesn't need power. So whether it's brushless or not, or how long they think they can make that powered last, or energy efficient because it's solar and it's not, you know, using like, you know, electrical power or whatever, I still wouldn't recommend a powered ventilation unless it's the last thing on your list and you have no choice. It's the only way for you to ventilate. So does that help you at all, or?
Well, it's certainly a different story than the one they sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would try and have some more conversations about it and maybe, you know, talk to some other people to try and figure out if what you're looking at is truly the best thing for your home and the only direction that you can go to get good, you know, attic ventilation. I would love to come out and take a look at your attic and see, you know, what you got going on and what the proper thing, you know, I feel would be to do. It would definitely take, you know, examining the attic and getting up there and really looking at the house and how it's structured to answer that. So,
okay. Well, I'll give you a call.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it. And definitely a good question, but, I appreciate you calling in, and call our office at 314-909-1800, and we can get something set up for me to figure out what's best for you there, Heather. And so for everybody else out there, had a great time, had a hopefully another great show. Appreciate all the calls, and I want to reach in here in the hat, and I'm going to pull out, we got Tim's name. So Tim with the sump pump, you won the gift card. We'll contact you next week, and I look forward to talking with everybody next Saturday. Stay tuned for Priscilla's All Around the Yard.
Get more at 971talk.com.